Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Mark chapter 12. Yes, we continue to be in these verses, and we will be until next week. But these verses are so important for us as we seek to run this race of faith faithfully and diligently. I've been reading the same passage of Scripture for the last several weeks from different versions of the Bible. I've read from the NIV, the King James Version, the English Standard Version, the New Revised Standard Version, the Message. Last week I read from the New Living Translation. Today I'm going to read this passage of Scripture to you from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. And in my fancy little chart here that I have that tells me the different types of Bible translations and where they fall as far as how literal they are compared to the original languages or how loosey-goosey they are, my fancy little chart here tells me that the New American Standard Version of the Bible is at the very forefront of the word-for-word literal translation. And so this version I'm going to read to you is as close in the English to a literal translation from the original Greek. But it is important for us to know the different translations of the Bible in English, because none of us fluently read the biblical languages of Hebrew and Greek, and so I think we need to know what we're getting into when we read the Bible. But follow along with me as I read from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34 from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. Jesus is quoting from the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where observant people of faith would recite these verses twice a day, once in the morning and once at night, to remind them of what is most important in life. And so would you stand with me and let's recite the Shema together from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Lord, these words come directly from you to us. Help us to apply them day in and day out. Help us to learn to love you more faithfully, more effectively, more passionately. Help us, Lord, to learn to discern that which is not important in our lives and to weed that out, and to make that which is important to us, that you have declared as important, to make that a priority in our lives. And so every day is a process of discerning. What do I need to get rid of in my life? What do I need to ignore? What do I need to push aside? And what do I need to give priority to and my attention towards and all my effort to? And your word helps us. And so these words here before us that we have recited, that we take to heart, remind us of what's most important as we seek to run this race of faith effectively and fervently. And help us to do so by your grace. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I told my friend the other day that I have a bad memory. And my friend said, since when? And I said, since when what? Some of you didn't get your coffee this morning. We do have a tendency to forget things, small things, but also the important things. And so that's why people of faith, our forefathers who came before us, would recite these verses twice a day that we just recited. The Shema, hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. They did this to continually remind themselves to stay on track, to do that which is right, to keep them on the path of righteousness that God had for them so that they could faithfully run the race of faith. And so there's significance in repetition to keep us on track and to keep us on the path that we need to be going. But here in Mark chapter 12, Jesus does something extraordinary. Matter of fact, he does something that no rabbi had ever done before. He brought to the attention of the people the Shema, which was significant, and they knew that. But then Jesus brings this obscure verse from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, and he adds it right next to the Shema. And this is what we read in Leviticus 19, 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against someone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And so the people hearing Jesus that day were astonished, for they had never heard these two commandments put together as forcefully, as adamantly, as Jesus did. Jesus was saying, you take the Shema, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And in the same breath, just as important, just as significant as loving the Lord your God, we are to love our neighbor. One commentator that I read says this about what Jesus does here in Mark chapter 12. He says, Jesus brings together two widely separated commands, while each is warmly commended by the rabbis. So far as is known, no one save Jesus has brought them together as the two regulative principles which sum up our duty. And so Jesus does this remarkable thing. Love the Lord your God, but also love your neighbor. The New Testament writers took this up and expounded upon it. So we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, for example, the Apostle John says this, whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And so the New Testament writers take Jesus up on this and expound upon it and teach us that if we're going to love God, it is not an option to not love other people. If we're going to love God, we absolutely must love others. This was so important and central to the teaching of Jesus that he gave us a story, a parable about this whole thing. You may be familiar with it. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. And I want to read to you this parable. It's called the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this is one of the most important stories that Jesus tells to illustrate this point of loving God means we must love our neighbor. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it, or how do you interpret it?" Now get this in verse 27. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." This man heard Jesus' teaching from earlier. He was around when Jesus did what I just talked about and put those two commands together. He actually paid attention to Jesus. You know, we preachers and teachers love it when you guys pay attention, right? Nothing thrills our heart more. This man paid attention and he got it. He was listening to Jesus. Jesus was excited and he said, "You have answered correctly. Well done. You get an A+. Jesus said, "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, as we all tend to want to do. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him." But he didn't just stop there. You see, thoughts and prayers weren't enough. He went to him and bandaged his wounds. But that wasn't enough. He poured oil and wine. But that wasn't enough. He put the man on his own donkey. But that wasn't enough. He brought him to the inn. But that wasn't enough. He didn't just drop him off. He took care of him. But that wasn't enough. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said. But that wasn't enough. "And when I return, I will reimburse you for any expense you may have." Jesus asked, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Wow. What a powerful illustration. The Samaritans had a weird relationship with the Jews. Relations were highly antagonistic. Jews generally shunned and despised Samaritans, seeing them as religious and ethnic outsiders. This Samaritan was the least likely to stop and have compassion on the man who was half dead. But he did. And he went out of his way and he showed mercy. You see, to love your neighbor, it's not just enough to offer well wishes, thoughts and prayers, maybe a Christmas card every year. Love equates to action, specifically mercy. Maybe you've seen this meme floating around online. "Love your neighbor as yourself," Jesus says. "Who is my neighbor?" "It's whoever you were hoping I wouldn't say." Let that sink in for a little bit. Now, in our context, when we think of neighbor, we naturally think of our next door neighbors. And I've been thinking, in the time Renee and I have been married, and all the neighbors we've had, we have been especially blessed. We've been blessed with good neighbors. We really have. I can't think of a neighbor that we've had that's just been horrible. There was that one time when, this is several years ago, At 3 o'clock in the morning, we were awakened, and it was the summertime, so our window was open, and I awoke to red and blue police lights, and a police officer gets out of his car and says to our neighbor, "Get out with your hands up," you know, and it was loud because our window was open. Apparently, our neighbor at the time was driving drunk, and when the cop tried to pull him over, he didn't pull over, but decided to drive all the way home. Other than that, I can't really think of a bad experience we've had with neighbors. So we've been exceptionally blessed. Some of you, though, have lived next to the neighbors from hell, you know, and I've heard horror stories. Some of you have told me some of your horror stories. Have you seen the show called Neighborhood Wars? It's an interesting show. It's kind of comical, but also sad. It's a show about the neighbors from hell. And every so often I'll watch it and I'll say to myself, man, I'm so glad that person isn't my neighbor. I've asked myself, what does the perfect neighbor look like? Now, you young people won't remember this TV show, but there was a show years ago called Home Improvement. And Wilson was, to me, the perfect neighbor. I mean, there was a fence, you know, separating his yard from the neighbor. You never could see his face all the way. He wore a hat, and he just kind of kept to himself. That's the perfect neighbor, right? But unfortunately, not all of our neighbors are like that. But for 8 seasons, Wilson was the perfect neighbor when he wasn't poking his nose in anyone else's business. So our neighbors to our left side, a beautiful young family. They've got 2 beautiful little kids. Great people. They've helped us, we've helped them, and I pray for them all the time, and I'd love to see them in church someday. The neighbor on the other side, they're a year older than me, Dave and Carrie. They moved in the same time we did in our new subdivision 23 years ago. Very interesting, they both have the same birthday, same year, and they were a very special couple. Carrie passed away several months ago. She had been sick for a long time, and that was very hard because not only was she our neighbor, but she was our dear friend, one of the sweetest neighbors we could have ever asked for. There was numerous times I'd go out and put something in the garbage and Carrie was there, and she would always ask, how are the boys doing? And they came here for their graduation parties, just wonderful, wonderful people. But Carrie passed away at the young age of 54. About a week later, I took Dave out to lunch and just tried to be his friend and tried to be his neighbor. About 2 weeks ago, Renee and I said, you know, we really don't have plans for Labor Day this last Monday. Let's invite Dave over for a barbecue. And so I texted Dave and I said, Dave, we're going to throw some steaks on the grill Monday. We'd love to have you come join us. And he did. And we had a great time. He brought over some homemade ice cream that he had made. He later told me that he hadn't had a steak in years because of Carrie's dietary restrictions. She couldn't eat certain foods. And being the incredible husband that he was, he would eat along with her. And he was very appreciative. But after we had him over on Monday, which was a natural thing for us to do. He's not only my friend, he's my neighbor. But it occurred to me, as I was thinking about this message, we're trying to love our neighbor. As he's grieving the loss of his wife and best friend, we just did what came naturally. And I want to do more of that. Because there are people in our neighborhood who need to be loved. There are people in your neighborhood who are hurting and need to see the mercy and love of God in action. So when we think of our neighbor, we think of our immediate next-door neighbor, as we should. But when we go beyond our next-door neighbor, we think about our immediate neighborhood. Several years ago, I was sitting in my office right over here, and I was looking at my window, and I go, you know, this window is like the perfect dimension for like a drive-through, if you drive through Burger King or McDonald's. And for the longest time, I was thinking, how could I use this window to not only bless the church, but to try to bless the community as well? And it occurred to me, I could use my window as a drive-through window. When it gets really hot out, I could pass out ice cream. And so I ordered one of those little box freezers that fits perfectly right under my desk and plugged it in. I bought a bunch of ice cream. And a couple years ago, I started the pastor's window blessing of encouragement, or whatever I call it. And I said, come through and I'll give you ice cream. And it was wonderful. I got to see you outside of Sunday morning. And not only that, but we put it out on social media, and several neighbors within walking distance just came by, and I was able to give out ice cream. And I've done that for a couple of years because I want to try to bless our neighborhood in small, tangible ways. Well, we did it again this summer, did it last week, and I did it again the week before, and had so much fun. Many of you came by, had a great time. It brings me joy to give you ice cream on a hot day. I got to tell you this cool story about what happened last week. I was nearing the end, and the Santa Pack guy pulls up over by the dumpsters, and you can see he's there, and I'm thinking, oh, he's getting the trash or whatever. You know, we'll have postmen stop by and rest, or the utility workers come by. And so I didn't think much of it. The guy came up to my window. I saw him walking to my window, and so he said, hey, do you mind if I take a break here in your parking lot? Now, that to me is pretty cool, because we don't get requests like that often. People will just do it or whatever, which is fine. But to actually have someone say, hey, do you mind if I can park here for a little bit? And I said, sure, no problem. Take as much time as you need. And then he started to walk away. And I go, duh, I've got ice cream in the freezer. So I said, hey, come back. I said, hey, I'm giving out ice cream today. Would you like a Haagen-Dazs? And his eyes lit up. He goes, oh, that's the good stuff. And I gave it to him, and he said thank you, and he walked off to the truck. He was there for a little while. This is the cool part. As he turned around to drive off, he came up to my window, and you know what he did? He honked at me. How cool is that? And I immediately thought, you know, when you're a little kid and you're on a road trip and you try to get the truckers to honk at you, and every time you did that, you felt good? Well, I felt like a kid again. I got the Santa Pack driver to honk at me. It was so cool. But it was his kind way of saying thank you, and it touched my heart. And I was able to bless a hardworking member of our community with a simple ice cream. He may never step foot into our church, and that's fine. But I tell you, every time he drives through now, he's going to think, somebody gave me an ice cream when I was there last. And hopefully that touches his heart. Then, after this, I had a real character come through. Look at that face. So what do you do when you're a young man and you're trying to save money and you're with your girlfriend and it's a hot day and you want to cool down? You stop by the pastor's window, and I gave him and his girlfriend an ice cream. And it was good to see him and many others of you. My point is this. We're trying to find ways to bless our community and to love our neighbors. So Friday afternoon, Renee and I went to the Springfield block party. And I don't know if you've been. We had not been before. This was our first time. And they block off a bunch of streets down in downtown. As you can see in the next picture, there were booths everywhere. I couldn't believe it. All kinds of displays, you know, every business you can think of. One booth in particular caught my attention. the bong booth. Not because I'm particularly interested in bongs, but it was the placement. Next slide. They were right next to the diaper booth, the Lane County Diaper Bank. And so I just thought that was funny that you had the bongs next to the diapers. But it gives you an idea of what was going on at the Springfield block party. I ran into some people I know. This is my buddy Tito. Ran into him, and you can see he's doing karaoke. He did pretty good. He's not the best. The gal before him was absolutely horrible. Someone needed to tell her, do not do karaoke. Tito wasn't bad. It was good to see him. I haven't seen him in a while. They even had a mechanical bull. And I walked up to it, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he knew what I was thinking, and he said to me, "There's no way you're getting on me, buddy." And so I didn't do that. As I was walking around the block party, all kinds of booths and displays, you know what I did not see? Not one church. Not one church. Ourself included. And I got to thinking, what if God impressed upon someone's heart that next year we set up a canopy at the Springfield block party, and maybe we have ice cream or cookies or whatever, whatever creativity, whatever imagination we can come up with. And we just had a presence there, and we sought to love our neighbors and bless our neighbors, to let them know we're here, we love you, but more importantly, God loves you. Something for us to pray about and think about and consider. Because Jesus told us to love our neighbor with action, with mercy, which is just as important as loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You may have heard that the iconic fashion designer Giorgio Armani passed away a couple days ago. He was in his 90s. Everybody knows the name Giorgio Armani. Unfortunately, I don't own one of his suits. I probably never will. I watched a story about him where near the end of his life, he made this statement. He said, "I've built a successful business, but one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't spend enough time with family and friends." May one of our regrets not be that we didn't spend enough time with family, friends, neighbors, people, showing them the love of God, showing them the mercy of God, and loving our neighbor.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.